Would you stand with me this morning, please?
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness. God, there's no way we can fully comprehend or wrap our brains around you and all you are. God, thank you for your love. Thank you that we are never, ever alone. That you're with us like a dread champion, watching over us at all times, even when we don't feel it, even when it doesn't seem like it, you're here. In the quiet place, in the loud place. God, let us embrace this reality that you're with us and we're never alone, and your love in a way like we never have before. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, you are in control of our lives. You see the end to the beginning. You know our down sitting, our uprising, and are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Right on our hearts this morning, all that you have for us. In Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
You can have a seat. Great song, huh? Hope you all enjoyed that. I want to title this today, Simple Steps. Like Forrest Gump, I'm not a smart man. I like to keep things simple, you know. And simple steps of obedience. This is your line. Write this down or just commit it to memory. Simple steps of obedience can lead to significant outcomes. Simple steps of obedience can lead to significant outcomes. You know, last week when Alan Mitchell was here, we got a picture, kind of a thumbnail of what is going on really around the world and what God is doing. And when you watch these moments, you realize God has a plan for this planet. No matter what we see at times, no matter how overwhelming culture can be at times, I promise you this one thing: God's not moved. He has a plan. And his kingdom is stopping for no man, no person, no agenda, nobody. It's happening. Whether you like it or not, believe it or not, he's not really interested in your opinion. It's coming. For those of us who are here today, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. My dear friend, Pastor Jim Critcher, anytime we would have we would have a moment where God would be doing something on the extraordinary. Jim would always ask me this question, and it was such a great question. He would say, "Mike, why do you think God is doing this? What are you supposed to be taking away from this moment?" And I think that in that question is a great question for us today. What is God doing in Asbury? What is God doing at Texas A&M or any other place around the world? And we see God moving in this way. And we have to ask ourselves, Lord, what is my part? How do I fit in? When I first became a Christian, I was 20 years old, and Jesus really changed my life. Really, really just, it's a long story, but really changed my life. I was pretty fired up. I was living in Lexington, Kentucky at the time. I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, that is. And hook 'em horns. But anyway, and I was living in, I'd become a Christian in Lexington. And in a moment similar to the experience we're having, we were in that same kind of vein at our church. And God was doing some incredible things. And in a worship moment, just like we experienced this morning, I had been worshiping, and I was worshiping the Lord, and I remember God gave me a picture, showed me preaching in this picture at this place in Lexington, Kentucky. On every Friday night, they would have the midnight movie. Now, Before becoming a Christian, I was a part of that crowd. After becoming a Christian, I quit going there, okay? There's a lot of reasons why. It's a big party, for lack of better words. So, but the crowd gathered outside, and there'd be 400 to 500 people outside before they'd let them into the theater. God showed me this picture of me going down there and preaching. I'm like, wow, you know, what is this all about? And so I went and shared it with my pastor, and he said, really? I said, yeah, God showed me this. He said, well, go ahead. I'm young, fired up. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm pretty green. And so I go down there, and sure enough, a bunch of us went down there, and the crowd was big, and I jumped up on a concrete trash can, and everybody was, the movie's getting ready to go in, and I said, is everybody having a good time? And yeah, party, woo, and all this stuff. And then that was my moment. And I said, well, I'm here to tell you tonight about Jesus Christ, that he loves you. And I preached everything I knew. Took about 2 minutes. And everybody, shut up, go home, get out of here, you know. And then they let everybody into the theater. And it was so, like, wow. And so, of course, I'm not going to lie, my adrenaline was like, oh, you know. I got down and the crowd went in, and there was probably about 10 of us there from our church. And everybody went in and nothing happened. I'm like, God, what was that all about? And I went from like this place up here, way low. I'm like really discouraged. God, you told me to come out here. What was that all about? And after everybody's gone, we're kind of sitting there and talking a little bit. This girl walks out and says, can I talk to you a second? I said, yeah. And so we're standing there, and she goes, I got to tell you, I walked into that theater. I had a purse full of beers. I was going to get trashed tonight. But that was the craziest thing I have ever seen in my life. I have never seen anything like that. And I just threw my beers away. I want to get right with God. And she repented, got right with God that night. Two things happened that night. The significant moment of Jesus touching her life. For me personally, the significant moment was a simple step in obedience to what God showed me. God showed up. The works that outcomes, we define them in a business sense in a lot of different ways. We have benchmarks and metrics and measurements, and we set goals and objectives, and we strategize, and we do all these things, but that's not how the kingdom works and measures outcomes. The kingdom measures outcomes in an entirely different way. One word could be fruit. Fruit in our lives. Fruit of people getting saved. What is God doing in my soul? Simple steps of obedience can lead to significant outcomes. Because of that, I learned pretty quick, wow, God showed up. And that set a pattern that I knew that if God showed me something or God called me to something, I could step out and see God work. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. So we see all that God is doing in the world today, and it's kind of like this. In pastoring, you know, I would come in here, or you can come in here in a worship moment, and you have this incredible experience with God, and then you go home. And you have to reconcile the reality of life and what you're doing. For example, you're leaving church, and your child just blows it out. That is real life. Amen? That was a 30 wiper. That's how we used to measure them with my family. That was a 30 wiper. You know, you immediately go from, where did the cloud of glory go? What happened? How do we reconcile these moments? How do we reconcile the fact that God's doing this and then we have to embrace the reality of life? What do we do with that? We go back to work. We're dealing with toxic situations, we're dealing with toxic people, we're dealing with circumstances, challenges, and we are called in that moment to change the world. God's call. God has a plan. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus appears to the disciples in verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." Everybody say, "Don't be afraid." "From now on, you'll be fishing for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What do we see in this moment? We see a simple step of obedience. The guys been fishing, what? All night. I don't know about you, but when you get tired, what do you want most of the time? A break. Space. You know, I'm tired. Don't ask me. I fished all night. Casting nets on the other side. Well, what difference is that going to make? You know what I'm saying? What difference is that going to make if I cast a net? You know, you can analyze the thing to death. But at your bidding, Lord, we do that. Then the miracle takes place. Matter of fact, it's so great that they have to call their friends. God never comes and asks us for simple steps of obedience when it's convenient all the time. "Hey, I can really tell you're doing well right now. No, you know, you don't seem to be having any emotional issues or anger issues or anything right now. I think this is a good time that I want to use you to help this other person." Does that ever work like that for you? Not in a million years, right? Had a situation recently at work. I hired a new employee at work, and I'm sitting there, and I'm working on a bunch of stuff. It's like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I'm like cooked. And I'm in my mind, I'm going, "I'm ready to get out of here." And she comes up and plops in front of my desk and says, "You're a pastor, right?" In my mind, I'm going, how do I handle this moment? Well, let's see. Yes, of course. And so then she begins to pour out her whole life to me and all these things she's going through. And how do I do this? And what do I do about that? It wasn't convenient, but it was God. It wasn't convenient, but it was God. God never comes to us when it's convenient. What did Jesus do? He asked them to take a step. Just do what I'm saying. See what happens when you trust me. See what happens when you follow me. They had an outcome. Do you think that's what they were expecting when they cast the net on the other side? You know, outcomes and our steps of obedience many times may not look like what we think it's going to look like. When we started the church here, I remember our very first Easter service. Okay? It's Easter. This is your big moment to grow the church, see people get saved, come in. We're going to have a moment. We put all of this effort into it, and nobody came. Nobody showed up. Matter of fact, I was leading praise and worship at the time, and I literally kind of wanted to go, "Hey, you know what? There's a great church right up the road. You could probably still make it. This is really embarrassing. Because what had happened was a girl, a college student, we didn't know, and her mother showed up. Everybody else was out of town. And I kind of wanted to go, you know, can I just help you go over here? And it was so discouraging, so discouraging. And then what happened was, short version, we had our next service. I literally that week said, all right, met with our team of all five of us. Ours was our big team. And we prayed, and I prayed and fasted. I said, look, I'm not going to just do a meeting, bunch of meetings. Either God's with us, we're going to do this thing. And long and short of it was, the next Sunday, we had the largest crowd we'd ever had. Most importantly, what defined that moment for me was the presence of God. It was like, it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. And everything from then on changed. And the church grew, and God was glorified in it. They needed help. What are the disciples? The catch was so great, it was what? A moment where you didn't just say, you know, bless God, I've got this, I'm a man of... No, this is their capacity of what they could do was stretched in such a way they had to call for help. One of the most significant things about life and outcomes is that you can never do it all alone. Any endeavor, any step of obedience God calls you to, the more you're going to need help. If you don't acknowledge that, God help you. They needed help. It was God's way of showing them, you can't do this by yourself. Your self-sufficiency is not going to help you. Your own strength's not going to help you. Your own wisdom, your own willpower, it's not going to help you. Because when God shows up, it's going to take everybody. It's going to take everybody. Their nets began to tear. What does that signify? They were at capacity. So here's a question. What would it look like if in the next 2 months, 250 people showed up here? What would that look like? If we try to draw some type of parallel, our nets are breaking. What does a net symbolize? Relationships. Our commitment to one another. Well, there's so many people coming here. I don't know anybody anymore. Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to Pastor Blake. He didn't smile at me today. I literally had somebody say that to me one time. Pastor Mike, you didn't smile at me today. I'm sorry. I didn't know I missed that moment. Their nets begin to break. We have to understand that God leads us in simple steps, brethren, for the purpose of growing you. Growing you and growing us collectively. Expanding our hearts, expanding our reach, expanding our scope of vision, expanding our faith, expanding our character, so that when a harvest comes in, we have the capacity to sustain it. It does not tear us apart. They saw the transcendence of God. And this is a great moment because Peter recognizes Jesus in a way like, holy cow, who is this man? The transcendence of God. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. When we take simple steps and we see these moments, probably one of the most significant outcomes that will take place is you realize, apart from God, you can do nothing. You realize that how much you need Him. That if anything happens, it builds upon what you've learned. It increases your capacity for the next level of growth that maybe God's calling you to. It increases your capacity for maybe the next opportunity that you have at work, your next promotion or next level of responsibility you might have, or that next child. You know, that's why there's 9 months in between pregnancies. You know why? Men need that much time to get it together. It's like, oh God, whoo! Wives are, you know, they're tough. Men, I need all that 9 months. Can I get 12? You know, we need help. We need that level of God's grace to build in us so that when we come to a place in time, we have the character and the capacity to sustain it. It's been said, you never want to go to another level if you don't have the character to sustain it, because it will crush you. There's been a great book written by Jim Collins many years ago called Good to Great. He followed up with, it's all about how the large corporations would fail. I can't remember the name of it off the top. How the Mighty Fall, yes. And the whole book is written on about one thing only: hubris, arrogance. All of a sudden, what you started out and you were kind of humble and you built your corporation or you built your ministry or you built this or you built that, all of a sudden you get entitled and you think, yeah, I've arrived. I don't need help anymore. I have enough capacity to sustain everything. I've got all these people working for me, so I can treat them however I want to. I can act however I want to. I've got all this hubris. There's a fine line between hubris and confidence. And you have to, in God, Lord, don't let me cross that line. So what do? We prepare. Preparation. We've all heard, you know, preparation is the key to seizing opportunities or open doors. And in preparation, you always have to say, what do I need to do? You have to ask the right question. Ask the right question. One of the most critical things, if I could encourage you in one thing and one thing alone, you will never outgrow or become knowledgeable enough or have enough character that you don't desperately need this book. I have been in some incredible, powerful meetings. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs and walk across stage. I've seen thousands of people falling on their face, weeping in the midst of God. I've seen God do incredible things in power and anointing and touch people's lives. And that is awesome. When you're in the fire, you need an anchor. You need the Word of God that will tell you, I don't feel anything, I don't sense anything. What does the Word say? I don't know what tomorrow holds. What does the Word say? I don't have an answer for this challenge. God, I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. What does the Word say? I learned a long time ago, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I think. I want to know what God's saying about this moment. Yeah. And if you don't have that resolve, you're going to be just tossed to and fro by every wind and storm of life, rather than saying, bless God, I know God had a plan. I know He saw this coming. I will not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. I'm standing on the Word. And I've faced my fair share of animals and battles. And I've realized this, no matter how dark, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult or painful or what the challenge might be, at the end of the day, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? Psalm 119, 152 said, long ago I learned from your statutes, that you established them to last forever. What do we know? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your Word won't pass away. It will drive you through every place where you need a breakthrough. Counsel is great and necessary, but at the end of the day, there is a place where one friend of mine used to say years ago, he'd say, you have to grab the horns of the altar and you have to find God in your moment. Nobody else can do that for you. You need to hear from heaven. You need to get a word from this book, from God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that just rock solid anchors your heart and your soul, and that you're not moved. No matter where you are today in station of life, you have to be a lifelong learner. My wife and I were 63. We'll be 64 this year. We don't dare to presume we know everything. it's easy as you get older to get crusty. It's easy to get, as you get older, to be opinionated. Well, that, what is that going to accomplish? Not a thing. Right. Your opinion and a bus ticket will get you right on the bus. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that opinions aren't important. What I am saying is that if I'm leading my family, if I'm leading and trying to set an example at work, what are people watching? Are they more concerned about what I know or how I carry myself? What matters the most? What resonates more as a message of the gospel? How I treat another person or me giving them all the answers that they think they need? When you stand in awe and you see Jesus and you stand in front of the cross, we all are train wrecks. When we stand in front of the cross, it doesn't matter. I'm not impressed by what your knowledge base is. How are you going to carry yourself? How are you going to handle this situation? How are you going to minister to this person? How are you going to handle your employees? How are you going to handle your kids? How are you going to handle your teenagers? Lord, help you. How are you going to do that? All of these challenges, all of these things that we face, simple steps of obedience to the Word of God lead to outcomes that can be significant. What is the greatest significant thing that can happen? Is that you, not the greatest, let me qualify. What is it, a significant outcome that you could see because of a step of obedience? Is another person's trajectory in life dramatically changed? Dramatically changed. Atlas and James and Irene and all of our great team at Building Hope, do you realize we're changing generational patterns? Trajectories that have been going in a certain way for a lifetime, and we're transferring those to a whole new pattern that's going to leave legacies for generations to come. Do you know that in all the years that we've been pastoring and serving Pastor Blake and our team, the people that have come through here, that have been a part of this church, been impacted by the gospel, Jesus changed their life, and they've gone on around the world, serving, leading, ministering, families birth, marriages rock solid, because God did something in their lives here. Does that make us special? No. It's just our calling. As I said, it's the grace of God. We must be lifelong learners. Are we teachable? Whoa. Whoa, yeah. That teachable word. Are we coachable? Mm-hmm. Psalm 119:130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Oh boy. Let's move on. Expectations. Simple steps of obedience. Preparation, and then what do you expect? What should your expectation be as you take a step of obedience, whatever it might be in your life? Maybe it's with your family or your career or children or whatever the step might be. You can expect three things. Number one, the grace of God. The grace of God. It's amazing to me, and there's every time I stand in this building, I have all these memories that flood through my head. I can remember standing back in the back one day. It was, Monday was day off, so it had to be Tuesday. So first part of the week, we had our staff meeting. I was praying in the back, and we had payroll coming up for Building Hope, and we had no money. I mean, we were not just broke. We were really broke, and we had no money, and I'm sitting there in the back of my mind going, Lord, you told us to do this. You know, we need a miracle. I mean, today, right now, they're calling me about Pastor Mike. We don't have any money. What should we do? How are we going to make payroll? I'm praying. I'm kind of in a crunch here, so let me pray about this. And I'm sitting there praying. I said, Lord, I know you called us a step of obedience. You called us to do this. Praying, it's probably 20 minutes in, and Mark L'Esperance, who's many of you know, Mark's was one of our founders with Building Hope, dean at the College of Ed here, until he's a dean up at James Madison. But anyway, Mark comes barreling in, and Mark's like 6'3", from Boston, and huge. I mean, just real big. Brother, you're not going to believe it. And he talks just like that. He does. Everybody knows him. Brother, you're not going to believe what happened. I got a call from Mr. Williams today. He gave me a check for $10,000, brother. It was more like that. It was more like 20 or 30. I can't remember what I was. I just started laughing. I was like, oh, God, you are too big. Too big. The grace of God comes at every point in your life when you take steps of obedience because what? You're not alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. Number two, change. Change. Each step of obedience, each simple step, shapes us for our journey. It builds the character needed for the new place God is taking us. If there's one thing I can say about the Lord is He sees the end to the beginning of time. He sees this. He's inscribed you on the palm of your hand. Let's look at this. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. I'm going to land this really fast, so bear with me. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Now look at this. They have what? No speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. No speech, no words, no sound, yet their voice resonates throughout time. You don't think that God somehow transcends every aspect of your life? The devil's greatest desire for you is to make God very small in your head. He's always trying to say, well, I don't know. He's not really trustworthy. What if he failed? What if you this? What if you that? What if that? What if this? What if that? Because the reality is this, the spiritual forces of darkness and heaven are not peers. And they're not on an equal plane. You have to understand this when you're battling and fighting in spiritual warfare. You got to understand the kingdom of God is advancing. And it's not stopping. It's moving. The devil's only opportunity is to try and manipulate, sell you a bill of goods, tell you that you're not going to make it, tell you you're not worthy enough, tell you you're not pretty enough or not wise enough or sharp enough to take a step in God, to constantly beat you down and tell you that somehow you're going to do this and God's going to pull the rug out from underneath you. He wants to sell you that bill of goods because his greatest nightmare is that you would take the step and believe and God would show up. Once you see that, it's over. It's all over. The first time, just like that time I stood up on that trash can, I was a young kid, I was clueless. But man, something on the inside of me went off. And I saw Jesus, I saw God come through, just like I've seen it time and time again over all my walk with the Lord, and seen Him break through when I didn't think there was a breakthrough. Move on people's lives when I thought there was no answer, no hope, no place of opportunity, and see God show up and show Himself strong on their behalf. That was fun. I promise you this. You can go to the bank on this. God is way ahead of you. He is way ahead of you. We were driving down here. I had started coming down here in January to start a Bible on the hill. It was kind of my step of faith as we were launching the church to say, Lord, is this really you? You know, I've got two little kids, and if I take this step of faith, you know, God, I really need you to show up. And so I was coming down here and doing this Bible study. The Bible study really took off, and people were getting saved. And I was like, okay, Lord, this is really good. But I kept looking for a place to live, and we had planned on moving down to Greenville in August. The house we were living in sold out from underneath us. So this is like mid-February, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. I need a place to live. Where are we going to go? I'm driving down, coming down the old way where you had to go through, this is years ago, good gracious, Farm Bowl. And anyway, my car blows a water hose. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Heat temperatures coming on. I have never in my life, up to that point, felt the amount of fear that came on me in that moment. You're going to die. You're going to go to the city. You're going to die. Your wife's going to leave you. Your kids are going to hate you. It's all over. You're just a goner. You're disobeying God. God hates you. I mean, I kid you not, I couldn't hardly even, I'm trying to fix the hose. I couldn't even think straight. It was so bad. So bad. Finally, I called my dad, and I was like, man, I'm trying to get my wits together. And I finally got the car and ended up getting to Greenville. And I stopped at a place, and this lady was standing there, and I said, ma'am, I'm here. She had to use a payphone. This was back a while ago. It was a payphone. Anyway, payphone, and she goes, I've got to make a phone call. And I said, okay, well, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. And we were having this pleasantry back and forth. And all of a sudden, she goes, well, I said, I've got to, I said, you go ahead. I'm going to be here on the while. I've got a newspaper in my hand with apartments. I said, ma'am, I've got a call about all these apartments. My wife and I are moving here to Greenville. We've got to start we're starting a church, and we got to find a place to live. Like, today's my only day. It was a Wednesday. Today's my only day to get this done. I've got to find something today. She goes, oh, really? I'm a realtor. I just had an apartment open up. Would you like to come and take a look at it? It's the place we moved into. God's way ahead of you. Always. Way ahead of you. Last, resistance. That's kind of what we've talked about. Resistance, when you take a step, the devil's not going to go, oh, good for you. You hero, look what he's doing. He's preaching to that person. Yay. You're going to try and change the way your marriage is or change your, oh, let's not bother them. They're putting a good effort into it. Let's just not torment them or sow them lies. Let's not make their kids sick. You know, let's not do that. Let's just give them a break. They deserve a break. No, you take a step, all hell breaks loose. I'm just making it plain. It is. Resistance. How many times have you ever woke up, gotten the word that morning and felt, man, that was good, and went out into your day and it was a disaster? How many times have you gotten up on Sunday morning and it's like, you're going to church, yeah, praise the Lord, and all of a sudden, it's chaos. Why? Resistance. Resistance. There's something that God wants to build into us. Why did I play that video? The greatest foundation, you have to be, not mentally. It's one thing to know God loves you here. The real reality is it here? There is a lifetime between here and here. Big difference. The word of God applied. Matthew 7. The man who built his house on the rock obeyed the word. His house stood. His house stood. Your house stands when you take simple steps of obedience. You build your house on the rock. No matter what will come against you, you will still be standing at the end of the day. Again, the greatest challenge you present to darkness is to choose to believe that God's for you. You choose to believe that. There is a resolve that you set in your heart I'm not going to be moved. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad it gets. God has a plan. He's in control. And I choose to believe He loves me. Let's stand and pray this morning. Sorry, I went a little long. God in heaven, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. Lord, you've already moved on us. We've heard great stories of your greatness already, your faithfulness and your love. Your presence is here. Seal your love in our hearts. Eradicate fear. Perfect love casts out fear, and you are perfect love. Let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain. Simple steps can lead to significant outcomes. Whatever that outcome looks like, God, we give that to you. We say yes, Lord, to simple steps. Whatever our context, our world may be, we say yes to simple steps. Lord, have your way in our lives. In this season, God, have your way of what you want to accomplish in our hearts and in our homes. Have your way. Have your way. You know, during worship this morning, I just had this impression, and I'm just going to share this. I felt like maybe there was somebody here today, and you're just really ready to quit. I don't know what your context of life is, your sphere of life, what that looks like, but man, you're just done. And you're like, I'm done. I am just through. Your answer's right around the corner. Don't quit. It's coming. It's coming. Take one step forward. Take one step forward. Don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Take one day at a time. Take one step. No matter how small it may be, take a small step. Don't quit. Your answer is coming. Lord, seal this word in our hearts today. Be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Wasn't that good? Anybody else need that?